The Listening Ear in East Lansing is the oldest operating all-volunteer crisis hotline in the country. Since 1969, it's been providing free telephone and walk-in counseling to clients in crisis. For this week's Neighbors in Action on Current State, we're joined by two volunteer crisis counselors at the Listening Ear. Ian Jacobs is Recruitment and Orientation Director. Welcome back, Ian.
Thanks for having me.
And Carly Geraci is Media Liaison Director. Carly, welcome to Current State.
Thank you.
Ian, how does the Listening Ear define crisis? What are the parameters of a crisis?
So we have a really broad definition of crisis. Our definition is any situation where normal coping mechanisms don't work. So that can be very different for many different people, and it can look different for everyone.
What are some of the more common reasons people seek you out?
We definitely have some set things like substance abuse, suicide, sexual assault, grief, things like that.
Is it ever, I always think about work like this, and I always think this must be nerve-wracking to answer these calls. The phone rings and you can't be sure what the person on the other end is going through. Do you acclimate to that? Do you feel you train your people well enough that they can contend with that, or is anxiety for your volunteers ever an issue?
It's definitely our first few shifts. It can be very scary because, like you said, you don't know what you're going to expect. It can be anything, but we do have we have a 65-hour training program, and it trains us for almost any situation that you could encounter on the phones. So while it is nerve-wracking the first few times, I think you do pretty fast realize that it's not as scary as you anticipate.
Carly, your title is Media Liaison Director, but have you worked as a counselor on the phone?
Yes, yeah.
And walk-in? What's the hardest part of the job in terms of being a counselor?
I would say, kind of just like generally not knowing what to expect when you answer the phone. I guess personally, the hardest part would the fear of not being able to connect with them on an empathetic level in a way that we'd be able to help them would probably be like the hardest part. But like Ian said, the training really does prepare you for kind of like any situation that you would encounter. So even if you haven't like personally been through an experience that the caller may have been through, you can kind of empathize with the emotions that they're feeling at the time.
Mm-hmm. There must have been, since 1969, the Listening Ear's been doing this, there must have been occasions when you just had to put somebody down and seek help from somebody else. How often does something like that happen?
I guess kind of just like also depending on the person. Are you talking specifically about us volunteers, like having to put down the phone and
stuff?
No,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. The volunteers at the Ear are very supportive, and we're all also empathizing with each other, like after we hang up the phone, because the calls can get tough and it can get intense at times. But in the end of the day, we're like all there for each other.
65 hours of training, though, that's not insignificant. That is quite a bit of training. What's covered in those 65 hours, Carly?
In the training, we do a lot of role playing. So as you can imagine, we have like people who have been on training, have gone through training for that particular reason that would kind of act out what a call might be like. And so it's heavily role play lectures from professionals in the field and volunteers that have been there for a long time.
Carly Geraci is Media Liaison Director of the Listening Ear in East Lansing, and Ian Jacobs is the Listening Ear's Recruitment and Orientation Director. Ian, after 65 hours of training, what are the criteria here that someone has to meet to actually be formally become a crisis counselor?
So there are a few areas we look at. Empathy specifically, that's our main tool while we're on the phones with people is empathy. That's really how we connect with people and we support people. But we also look at people's ability to self-disclose, meaning how are they feeling or can they self-disclose about past experiences? And they don't have to. Obviously, we don't require people to talk about what they've gone through, but especially their feelings. We want people, our volunteers, to be able to be very emotionally aware of how they're feeling and how their emotions affect them. And then we use a specific feedback model. So that's something we look at too. we take our criteria very seriously, but we also want to give people the chance to meet criteria. So as a training staff member, if I did see someone going through our training who I was worried about or worried that they weren't going to meet criteria, I want to give them every possible opportunity to fix whatever mistake they're making and be able to join our staff, because I really love the listening ear, and I love making sure everyone can be involved in it.
Do you find yourself in a position where you're trying to help someone become more empathetic? Someone wants to become a counselor, and you may have doubts whether they're empathetic enough to really fill that role.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the empathy model that we have specifically, we can teach, but I don't necessarily think you can teach someone to be empathetic. Mm. I think in a lot of people, it's innate, and it's something that we teach people to access, but we don't give to people, if that makes sense.
Mm. How often does your work involve a referral? Or how often does your work result, I'll say, how often does it result in a referral to a professional counselor?
Is that common? That can vary. We do have a referral system. We have someone who is our referral book director. So it varies call to call. It may not even be a professional counselor. It may be another organization in the area. And since we get calls outside of Michigan as well, so sometimes it involves us looking up on our computer or phone resources in Nevada for a caller or something like that.
How often do you feel an incident or a call from someone seeking help is resolved by you and your counselors? In other words, how often do they literally just need someone to talk to and really don't require any other assistance? Is that common?
Yeah. Sometimes people just need someone to be there in the moment, and we never hear from them again.
And you feel like you've resolved a serious issue in somebody's life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Again, I'm speaking with Ian Jacobs, Recruitment and Orientation Director for the Listening Ear in East Lansing. Also, Carly Geraci joins us. Carly is Media Liaison Director. Ian, how are you trained to handle callers who are dealing with assault or abuse? Are you obligated to report that?
No, we're not. We only, if somebody asked me to, on their behalf, call the police, I definitely would, but, we are not required or obligated to notify anyone. It's what the caller wants. Basically, I look at an assault as somebody had their power taken away from them. And so when I'm talking to them, I want to give them the power to make decisions for themselves. So if they decide that they don't want to report their assault, that's their choice. And that I want to give them the power to make that choice.
You've both expressed that volunteering with the Listening Ear has had a significant impact on your own lives. Carly, what has it done for you? How has it changed you?
It's kind of crazy. I've only been there for a couple months, but the Listening Ear has just kind of provided a space for me personally to explore feelings and be able to talk about them with people. I just find that it's hard to, like, in society, just to, like, empathize with people, talk about feelings. It's just not a common thing. Mm-hmm. And the Listening Ear, like, that's what we're all about. We want to talk about feelings, like, volunteer to volunteer. Like, we always like talking about how we're feeling. Dealing with just general kind of anxiety issues has kind of been better because I'm more aware of it because of starting at the Listening Ear. And yeah, it's just been very helpful for me to be more aware. And it also has helped me realize that I'm not alone. And there are lots of people out there struggling with.
Well, I would say there's no better way to get outside your own problems than listening to other people's problems.
Exactly.
And it's a lot of times it offers a great deal of context and perspective that just living in your own head will never, ever offer. Ian, what about you? How long have you been there?
I have been there since February of 2015, so 15 months now,
okay.
I think.
How has it changed you?
Well, I think a lot, like Carly said, it's It's the first time in my life where feelings are celebrated and discussed and encouraged. Because like Carly said, in society today, I think oftentimes we're told don't have feelings or don't talk about them because your feelings aren't important or we don't have time for that. But the listening ear is completely opposite, and we're like, you have feelings? Let's talk about them. Let's celebrate these feelings.
I'd like to ask both of you whether you've had a particularly memorable encounter with someone calling. Carly, you haven't been there too long. Is there one that rises to the top yet?
Yeah, I mean, without getting too specific, I don't want to breach our confidentiality.
Of course.
But pretty much with any caller, I try to, like, put myself in their situation. That's kind of, like, the basis of empathy. And I remember kind of in the beginning of the conversation, we were talking about the first couple shifts of the year when you start volunteering. They can be particularly, like, anxiety-producing.
Sure.
And I remember there was one call initially that was like a younger caller. And we don't have like a specific age demographic normally, but this young caller just really stuck out to me. And we were on the phone for quite a long time. It was my longest call since being there. And she was just like having like lots of general anxiety like I do and just putting myself in her situation. I didn't talk much, honestly. I just kind of listened, but I felt like I was effective. And the call ended pretty well, so that call kind of like boosted my morale.
Confidence builder.
Yeah.
What about you, Ian?
So being there for 15 months, I've taken a lot of calls, but there are definitely people who I have felt the listening ear has saved their life in a sense, and I more or less have been told that by certain callers. So any time where I really feel like I'm making a difference in someone's life or anytime someone thanks me for being there for them, I think I feel really, just really good for being there.
Mm. Carly, what would you say to someone who's maybe considering becoming a volunteer, but might be hesitant over just the nature of the work and the responsibility?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie, it is challenging. The training in particular is very challenging. It kind of surfaces like on any emotions that you've ever had, honestly. But I would say it's worth a shot. Like Ian said, we give everyone a chance, and it really highlights your strengths emotionally. And if you even have the slightest interest to join the year, I would highly recommend it because I think it could be very beneficial to you and to our community at the year.
Oh, how can people learn more, Ian?
So we have a website. If you go to www.theear.org, we have information on there. And then you can also call us. Our number is 517-337-1717. We're 24 hours. So if you do have any questions about what we do or wanting to get involved, you can call us anytime and check us out.
Number hasn't changed since 1969, if I'm not mistaken. I remember
correct. Learning
that number a long, long time ago. I've been speaking with Ian Jacobs, Recruitment and Orientation Director of the Listening Ear, and Media Liaison Director Carly Geraci. Ian, Carly, thank you for being here. Continued success at the Great Listening Ear.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And Current State is looking for more nominations for our Neighbors in Action feature. Please help us out and email us your suggestions to currentstate@wkar.org. Please put Neighbors in Action in the subject line or tweet us at KAR Current State. Tell us a little bit about why you think they should be featured for the work they do.